One of the most stressful times in my life was about 5 years ago. Shreveport Bible Church was without a senior pastor, and I was doing the youth and children's ministry, so I started preaching on Sunday. And in the past, I would preach probably 3 or 4 times a year. And then I started having to preach every single Sunday, and it was quite a task for me. Also, during that time, I was doing an internship at Willis-Knighton, and that internship was about 20 hours a week. Also at that time, I just sold my house, and Timothy and I had moved into a small apartment. Also during that time, I got engaged, and about 3 months later, I was married. So it was very, very hectic, stressful time for me. And I learned a lot during that time. I learned that I wasted a lot of time. I mean, it's amazing how much you can accomplish when you limit your TV and you don't play computer games. So I learned that I really wasted a lot of time. I also learned that when I'm stressed and I'm real busy, I tend to get impatient and I tend to snap at people. And I also learned during that time that even when life is really stressful, you can still have a really good relationship with God. Because even though things were really tough then, I really felt close to the Lord. And what I did is I made sure every day I just had some time of quiet with the Lord. So I learned a lot during that time. Sometimes difficulties can teach you something. You've probably all have gone through some really, really tough times. And during those times, you learn something. You learn something about yourself, or you learn something about your relationship with God. This statement, sometimes we can learn from difficulties, is a true statement. Sometimes God can use the difficulties in our life to help us grow spiritually. That's true. Let me tell you a statement I don't think is true. Every difficulty is designed by God to teach you. Every difficulty is designed by God to teach you something. We are in a series on Christian cliches, and this morning we're looking at the cliche, God is trying to teach you something. God is trying to teach you something. You're in the middle of this really, really, really stressful time, this traumatic event, and someone turns to you and says, God is trying to tell you something. God is trying to get your attention. The implication is that God puts this trauma in your life to teach you a lesson. Every single difficulty you go through is specifically designed by God to teach you a lesson. Here's a quote from a Bible study, and this is for teenage girls, Bible study. Everything that happens to us happens for a reason. God is always trying to teach us something. He never lets trials happen for no reason. We live such busy lives that we forget to ask ourselves this question. What is God trying to teach us? And this is from a sermon I read this week. Trials are an opportunity to grow closer to God. If we don't learn our lesson from a trial the first time, I would be surprised if God did not allow the same trial to come into our life again and again. When a trial comes our way, some of the questions we should ask ourselves are, God, are you trying to say something to me during this trial? What are you trying to teach me during this crisis? What can I learn from this? Someone once said, when a trial comes, we should milk it for every meaning. So the idea here is when there's a difficulty, we need to find, what does this mean? Why is this happening? What is God trying to tell me? And it's the idea in this cliche that every single difficulty, God has designed it specifically to teach you something. Sheila Gregory writes in this book, How Big Is Your Umbrella? She writes this story. It's a true story from her life. I was pregnant with my second child. The day after my ultrasound, everything seemed to go into slow motion when the phone rang and the doctor said, you better come in because there's something wrong with your son's heart. Over the next few weeks, my husband and I learned that our son had a serious heart defect that would require a series of surgeries. These operations, however, would only prolong his death, not save his life. He would deteriorate, grow very short of breath, and suffer until he finally died. I walked through the rest of my pregnancy in trepidation and terror. When my son Christopher arrived on August 6, he was healthier than we would have expected him to be. We were praying that he could avoid the surgeries and that he might even improve on his own. But as his heart began to fail, Christopher grew increasingly tired and he lost weight. The surgery was his only hope, even though the doctor gave it only a 25% chance of success. On the morning of his operation, when I handed him over to the surgeon, I was terrified that I would never hold my son again. But the surgery went well, and the doctors grew optimistic about his chances. 5 days later, however, Christopher's heart began to beat rapidly, and in 29 days, he was dead. When Christopher died, my husband Keith and I received cards from well-meaning people who wrote things like, "Smile through this. God is teaching you something." Besides being a ridiculous thing to say to a grieving parent, I'm not sure that's even true. The insinuation is that God wanted me to get my attention, and so he sent this pain. And it's for my own good, so I better smile through it and get over it. Can we learn something from the traumatic events in our life? Yes. Is every traumatic event a lesson sent from God? No. Yes, we can learn something, perhaps, from a traumatic event, but that's different from saying that every traumatic event is sent from God directly to teach you something. The simple point this morning, simple point is, God can use the difficulties to help you grow, but not all difficulties are specifically designed by God to teach you something. I want to talk about the problems of this cliche, and then I want to talk about what is a more biblical, more healthy way of dealing with trauma in your life. First, what are some problems with this cliche? One, God is trying to teach you something implies that God is the source of the difficulties. God is trying to teach you something, so therefore God is the source of all these difficulties. God made you lose your job to teach you. God allowed that car wreck so you can learn something. God gave you cancer because he wanted to get your attention. Your children are sick, so God can teach you. There's a difference between God can use difficulties and God created or caused the difficulties. Romans 8:28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those that love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. It doesn't say God causes all things. God causes all things to work to the good, to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. When we're in a traumatic event and we walk in obedience, then God somehow uses that to his glory. There are some people, some Christians that believe that everything happens for a reason. Now, I don't believe that, but a lot of Christians do. You can believe that everything happens for a reason and still not believe that everything happens to teach you something. Let's say you believe that every single thing that happens has a specific reason. If you believe that, it's the idea that you may not understand what that reason is. It's probably a mystery, but God is using that and he's caused that or he allowed that because it's part of his big plan. You can believe that and still not believe that everything happens is God trying to teach you. If you believe everything happens for a reason, it's usually this unknown reason. The cliche says that everything happens specifically to teach you. Now, I don't believe either one of those, but you know, you can believe that everything happens for a reason and not believe this cliche. I don't think God needs to create trauma. There's enough trauma already. I mean, there's enough bad stuff. He doesn't have to create it. Hebrews 12:7 says this, "Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons, for what son is not disciplined by his father? Some people use this passage in Hebrews 12 to teach that everything that happens, God is using to teach you something. But that's not what it's saying here. In this section, the hardship in this section, if you look at chapter 12, the hardship is not God causing bad things to happen. The hardship is persecution from people who are opposed to Christ. Chapter 12, verse 2. Here's the context. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So the context here is you're trying to live for God, and these people mistreat you because of your righteousness. The idea here, the source is not God causing this. The source is spiritual opposition. We endure hostility as discipline. That's not punishment. This is training. God uses this hostility, this persecution to help us grow. So again, the source here in chapter 12 is not directly God. The source here is people who are opposing God. One of the problems of this cliche, again, is the idea that the source of all the trauma is from God. A second problem with this cliche is that it gives you a warped picture of God. When Sheila's son Christopher died, was she supposed to smile and, oh, no, that's a cruel picture of God. What is God trying to teach me by giving my dad Alzheimer's? Is God trying to teach my dad something? He has Alzheimer's. He can't learn it. That's a cruel God. God gives you cancer so that you'll learn a lesson. You've learned the lesson, and you still have cancer. If that's the main way God teaches us something, I don't think I want to be part of his class. That's a cruel picture of God. The God who lets or causes children to die to teach parents something doesn't quite fit the picture of Jesus in the gospel. In John chapter 11, Lazarus dies, and Mary and Martha, they're just grieving, they're crying. Jesus doesn't walk up to him and say, well, Mary, Martha, God is trying to teach you something. There's something here that you can learn. There's a lesson here. Now, what does Jesus do? He grieves with them, and he grieves for them. He cries. It says Jesus wept. And then another part of the story, Jesus gets angry, not at them. He gets angry at sin. He gets angry at death. Where's Lazarus? Let's go find him. Lazarus, come forth, and he resurrects Lazarus. Jesus, in this section, is not the source of the trauma. He's the source of life in this section. Third problem with this cliche, besides the fact that it makes God the cause of everything and it makes God look cruel, this cliche leads to believers anxiously trying to figure out what God is trying to teach them. Believers have to anxiously figure out, what is he saying here? What is God trying to say to me through this car wreck? Is he trying to tell me I need to read my Bible more? Is he trying to tell me not to yell at my kids? What is he trying to tell me? And so we're just desperately trying to figure that out. And I've known some Christians who become obsessed with trying to figure out what's the meaning of this. If I don't figure out the meaning of this, it's going to happen again. To me, it's kind of like you're in class and you're taking notes and the teacher walks up and she whacks you on the back of the head. And then she says, okay, now figure out why I whacked you. I don't see God that way. I see God as the picture of maybe he's not the teacher that whacks you on the head, but he's the tutor who sits next to you and says, okay, I'm going to help you through this test. Here's a study guide. I'm going to give you all the resources you need to get through this test. That's the picture of God. I want to help you. I'm not going to cause this to punish you and not tell you why this is happening. I'm going to help you through it. And then fourth, the idea that God is trying to teach you something can imply that the problems in your life are your fault. If you would have understood this truth, I wouldn't have to bring this difficulty in your life. You caused this difficulty because you're not paying attention to me. Maybe this wreck is trying to teach me that I need to read the Bible more. You know, it's my fault. If I would have read the Bible more, then I wouldn't have gotten in this car wreck. And you know, if I read my Bible more, maybe I'll never get into car wrecks. And so it's the idea that you're the fault. You're the cause of this tragedy. You did something wrong. Yes, sometimes bad stuff happens because we're foolish and sinful. But not all bad things. Sometimes bad things just happen. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world with fallen people. Things aren't the way that God wants them to be. And so you can't assume, and don't assume, that when something comes in your life, God is trying to teach you something. Yes, He can use it, but He hasn't specifically designed it. He can do that, but we can't have that assumption in our life. The cliche implies that the difficulties in your life are your fault. If you just would have listened to God, none of this would have happened. According to the cliche, when bad things happen, what you need to do is try to figure it out. What is He trying to say to me? Figure it out. Let me tell you a better way, a more biblical way of responding to difficulties. Turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1, verse 12. James 1, 12. Page 854. Just a short section here. Verse 12, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. Blessed is the person, the believer, who perseveres under hardship. The word persevere here is hupomeno, and it means to stand your ground. It means don't give up. Sometimes it's translated persevere. Sometimes it's translated endure. Blessed is the man who endures, who keeps going, who stands up, who walks in obedience. This word is used about 14 times in the New Testament, and it's always connected to suffering and hardship. And it's the idea of endure it. Stand firm. God is giving you the resources. You can do this. And when you stand firm, when you endure, God will give you the crown of life. Now, the crown of life is not the same as the gift of eternal life. The gift of eternal life is to anyone who places their faith in Jesus Christ. If you place your faith in Christ, you receive the gift of eternal life, the free gift. The crown of life is something different. The crown of life is a special reward to those believers who faithfully endure and they walk in obedience in suffering. And God says, when you've stood the test, when you've gone through this trial, God will give you the crown of life. And I think, in what I think, it's probably now. It could be something in the future, but I think it's now. God gives you a fuller, deeper experience of Christ. You've suffered, and during that time, I'm going to obey God. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to live in loving obedience. And because of that, God gives you a fuller experience, a deeper experience with Him. We can endure. We can keep going. We can walk in obedience because of Jesus. Let me go back to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition of sinners, so that you will not grow weary. Focus in on what Christ did. Because of what he suffered, we can endure those times. I know a lot of people in this congregation are going through a lot of difficult times right now. When you're going through those difficult times, don't spin your wheels and keep asking yourself, why is God doing this, or what can I learn? What you need to do is realize God has given you the strength to endure. You can live in obedience during this difficult time, whatever it is. In any difficulty, there's always a choice. Will I walk away from God? Will I step back from God? Or will I draw closer to him? And in that difficulty, draw close to him, and I'm going to walk in obedience. Walk in obedience. If you have to ask questions, the question should not be, what are you trying to teach me? If you have to ask a question, the question would be, Father, what does obedience look like? Father, what is endurance? How can I minister in this situation? If you have to ask questions, God can use the difficulties in our life to help us grow. But not all difficulties are specifically designed by God to teach us something. Back to Sheila's story. When my son was ill, I remember talking to our minister about why God was doing this. Trying to appear mature, I said to him, I just want to learn whatever God is trying to show me. And then my pastor said something that absolutely floored me. He said, why do you assume any of this has anything to do with you? When my pastor challenged my assumption, it was like God was finally pulling me back from the cliff toward the shelter. I had everything backwards. I hadn't realized that in trying to find answers, I was actually walking further into the storm rather than toward God. I thought God wanted me to seek answers when God really wanted me to seek him. Looking for reasons for the storm is only natural. But as we voice these questions, yelling into the wind, the storm, God is yelling toward us, come back to the shelter. God is not creating the storms in your life to teach you something. God is creating the shelter when the storms come, and they do come. Trust in God's strength to help you endure and take shelter in his unfailing, unconditional love. Let's stand as we close.